Hour number two of Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic, the reporter, Nick Kieser behind the glass. We say hello now to Joe Rexroad, one half of Robbie and Rexroad that you can hear weekdays from 6 to 9 here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Joseph, how are you?
I'm good. Never sat here.
Yeah?
I've got you. You're in the middle.
Hot seat. Right and to the left.
It's the hot seat.
Yes, this is D-Mace's seat, right?
Yes, it is. Yeah, he's got his ring light and, you know, everything. So
right.
It's the spot.
Yeah.
You like the Rage? Little Rage
against
the Machine? Yeah, I thought you'd appreciate that.
I'm big on the Rage, man.
Yeah, same.
Big on the Rage.
Same.
Yeah, I said, hey, Michelle, are you cool with Rage? And she's like, sure. Don't know what that is, but
like,
sure.
Like Rage in general?
Yes, Rage in general, for sure. What are we expecting today, Joe? Rancarthon going to be introduced. I don't know. I mean, I'm assuming Vrabel's going to be a part of this. I would hope he is. Amy Adams Strunk, I don't know. I know she's here. She's been in all the Titans little hype videos that they've been doing, and you know, him getting the phone call and those things.
Yeah.
You know, you can kind of tell my thoughts on that, but you know, whatever.
Not a huge fan.
They're a little corny. If I'm
a little
just being
bit.
Honest.
Yeah. I mean, I like we were talking earlier on the show, it's like, well, like what's Vrabel's reaction when it's like, so everybody's going to come in the building and we're going to have cameras all over the place and everybody's going to be waiting in like a big standing O for Ran? Like,
probably not.
Vrabel? Yeah. I actually remember when Vrabel got hired, they had their video was like him getting off the plane and like the bro hug with him and John Robinson. But that was a little bit just like in the moment.
That's
as
okay.
To,
yeah. I mean, that is the. You know, the kind of what you expect, you know, from
right.
Especially a guy.
Yeah,
like
something like that. Yeah, but this was quite a bit, I must say.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of production that's gone into this.
Yeah.
And I know why they're doing it, and she's at the focal point of most of it, which is, again, I know why they're doing it, which kind of tells me that I don't think she's going to do anything today.
I 100% do.
She might introduce him, but she's not taking a question.
I don't think she'll introduce. Well, maybe. I guess. Yeah, I don't know. Will there be an introduction, or they like he just sit down? Do he and Vrabel sit down?
Is it Burke Nihil? In the grand scheme of things, none of that really matters. Right.
It is interesting though.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting dynamic. What is the number one question for you for Rancarthon today?
Well, I don't have some great question. Distilled, ready to bark it out. But my number one overall question is what he thinks about the roster.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's yeah. And if you want to boil that down further, what does he think about Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry, the situation he inherits? How specific will he get? I don't know. I'm interested to see how specific he will get. But that to me is really what it's about. Like he's not going. They're not going to get into like who's doing what and saying mm-hmm. what and how, you know, who gets the vote and, you know, paper, rock, scissors, best out of three for the first round pick or anything like that. I mean, I think that's interesting. Like work relationship with Vrabel. I'm very interested to hear about, like, I know Vrabel, you know, was a player with the Chiefs when Maurice Carthon was assistant head coach under Todd Haley. So like, did Vrabel and Rancarthon get to know each other at all back then? I mean, you got the Belichick-Parcells thing. There's a lot about this that's interesting. And I do hope Vrabel's there because, obviously, he can help shed light on a lot of that stuff. But I'd say number one is what he sees with this roster and what he thinks is necessary.
Well, and, of course, this is going to be his introduction, Rancarthon's. But if Vrabel is there, there's going to be a lot of offensive coordinator questions. Do you think he'll even go into that or he'll just direct back to – you know, this is not about that today, or a lot of Tim Kelly questions. Do you think that Tim Kelly is the, you know, number one guy right now?
Yeah, I mean, that's my guess is I would make him the favorite. But yeah, that's an interesting thing. It's like, I mean, even when Robinson was Vrabel's boss, like I, you know, expected Vrabel to pick his coaches, right?
Yeah,
I think
yeah,
he did.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, like, but still, I mean, Rancarthon has experiences with various OCs and I'm sure has thoughts on that. So I think that's a good, you know, thought today too. And again, that's where hopefully Vrabel's there and then he can
answer
more directly
that.
Talk about OC and how the search is going. Yeah.
Okay, so I brought this up earlier and I know that they're not – I don't know if this is going to come up, but – I do wonder if in this interview process, because you know you've been through this before, that the team's going to ask you questions and then you want to ask the team questions. And Sean Henry even referenced this because he heard me bring it up. If I'm Rand Carthon, I want to ask Amy Adams Strunk, or would have asked during the interview process, you made the change mid-season. Why? Why did you decide to do that when you did? And that can be between them, but I'm just very curious if that ever came up in the process.
Well, you know what? That's a great point. And like, if I were doing the hiring, it may not be a comfortable question for Amy Adams Strunk, but if I were doing the hiring, I would want someone who would ask me a question like that,
mm-hmm.
you know? I'd love to know the answer to that, too.
Yeah, wouldn't we all? Wouldn't we all?
Yeah. Cause, I mean, again, it's like, that's the funny thing. We've seen this process play out, and it's like, was there any advantage gained by firing him? I don't think so. They did
not
the
really.
Interview process in like a
well,
week.
Well, I know that
right?
was the, when a lot of people thought it was Cowden, they thought that the reason
Chance
he was fired,
him.
And then Cowden takes over interim, but obviously we know it didn't turn out that way.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, that's the thing. I guess I would have expected Cowden to help himself, too, getting Dobbs, right? I mean, unless that was Vrabel saying, let's go
sure.
get Dobbs. But, yeah.
Well, and I kind of think it was Vrabel that said, let's go get Dobbs, based on some of the things that he said in the press, you know, in the press conference of, yeah, we've evaluated him and all that stuff.
But, so. I mean, but like, go back to when Robinson was GM. I mean, anytime they talked about, like, Julio Jones, I don't think Vrabel liked that move, but Vrabel called Nick Saban, right? I mean, he's involved. He was always involved in the discussions. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that doesn't mean he spearheaded it necessarily
sure.
from what he said. He may have, but I'm just saying. I don't know that what he said would – I mean, you would expect them to both to be involved. Just like, moving forward.
Who's going to have final say?
Yeah, I mean, but like, the has. So I had an interesting conversation with Les Snead yesterday, GM of the Rams, and I asked him the final. Now, Les Snead reportedly, Sean McVay has final say over him with the Rams. Although that's, you know, it's a little hazy, but that's kind of what people believe. He brought me this report. He's like, if it gets to the point where coach and GM are like, absolutely no, I love this guy. No, I hate this guy. It's like, what has happened before with them is like, just throw it out then. Because if it's that much of a contentious thing, then like, I trust you enough to think if you're that against him, and of course they're going to talk about why, mm-hmm. that it's like, okay, then maybe I'm overstepping or I'm not seeing it clearly. So like, he's like, I mean, again, everybody's going to say this in the league, but it's like, these decisions are going to be both of them. It has to
be.
So, and it's like, so if things are going well and they're winning, like did we ever ask? Well, we knew that Robinson was in charge, but with teams that are winning and doing well, people don't ever ask that question.
No.
Sure.
They don't care. Like, okay, you guys talked about it. The coach should have say in who plays for him, right? It's when things fall apart that then it becomes like, okay, who made this decision? And we all saw who made the A.J. Brown decision.
Yeah, and that, you know, they're going to get asked that a bunch today, and we're not going to have an answer because, you know, as I said earlier, I don't think you really know how that's going to get decided until you're in the moment. I mean, these two haven't worked together before. So, I mean, you can have an understanding that, hey, look, you guys are equals. You report to Amy Adams Strunk. You know, you don't report – Vrabes doesn't report to Ran and vice versa. But, you know, if you get to that point, then we'll work through it.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like, this is why I like this guy. This is why I like this guy, and then you come to a decision.
Yeah, like if you have a good, you know, like when you guys clash over what's in the grid, you know, you work together and work it out, right?
Exactly.
Or do you pull rank and say, no, I run this place, and that's how it's going to be, Chase?
I don't pull rank.
Okay. Well, see, there you go.
But you could.
I could.
You could, but why do it until? Yeah.
Well, that's what
then
I
you
said.
Go, if need be, you go to Bud, like they would go to Amy, right? And complain about Michelle.
Come on. Well, I feel like Charles Robinson, he had a great point on it yesterday. And Joe, like you, like everybody's like, well, who's going to have final say? Who's going to have final say? Like, it's like, of course, the biggest question because that's how J-Rob and Vrabel ended. And then, you know, the new transition or whatever. But it's like, you know, they're good because they work together. J-Rob and Vrabel work together. Like, you covered them for pretty much Vrabel's whole time here. That never was a question. Never.
Yeah. Now, again, the difference is there was a clear line of command, right? So, like, in that situation, the GM brought in the coach, so you knew the GM, he was ahead of him on the flow chart. So, like, it's different.
Yeah.
When it's something like this, it's a little hazier.
Yeah.
So maybe Vrabel does unofficially or, like, not for our consumption, like, you got final say on the 53. When you cut down to 53, like, you ultimately, you get to do it. I don't know. But like the idea that, because I've seen some fans who come in and say, as you know, the new GM, before even this hire was made, like, you're going to be Vrabel's puppet, right? Well, if that's how Vrabel wants to go about it, then they are hurting themselves. You have to have someone really talented and good and strong-willed, I think, in that spot.
I don't know if I care as much about if Vrabel has final say on the 53, because I think he's had input on that.
Oh, yeah.
Where I care is, hey, dude, I think we're going to trade A.J. Brown to Philadelphia. Can Vrabel go, the hell you are? You know, like,
I'm sure he said that.
Right, but it actually means something. Like, he may have said that before, but how much weight did it really pull? John did it anyway. You know, but and yep. Amy had to approve it. I mean, she can pretend that she didn't, but.
Oh, no question. But, yeah, it's like in that situation, you know, obviously Robbins didn't like how things were going, right? And so he takes it to Amy. So I guess in this setup, if you had the exact same situation, I guess it would be they would both go to Amy and then maybe she would break the tie. In this, it was more like, we have to do this, Amy. Do you approve? Yes.
I just envisioned two kids running into a room. Mom, settle this argument. I mean, that's like your kids.
Yeah.
Be like that.
Caroline always wins.
Well,
I hope.
Yeah, well, she does. She does.
Joe.
Very spoiled.
Appreciate it. I mean, you were just sitting around writing, so.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
This is a great job.
Yeah, it's interesting doing head on a swivel.
Next time, college basketball, when we have you on.
I know. You promised me that.
You can do that.
We talked NFL.
You can do You two can do that.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be happening soon.
You're a college hoops hater, too, huh?
I'm not a hater. I'm just not.
He has no faith in March with Rick Barnes. Understandable.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. I don't.
Well,
Joe doesn't really either lately.
I can kind of understand that myself.
Yeah, I am one of those that I will start watching college basketball when the Super Bowl's over.
That's just kind of, I mean,
I'll keep up. I'll keep an eye on it. But
I haven't even been watching a lot this year. But now I'm watching more because
I have been to a game, though.
Now you like it again.
I went to Vandy, Memphis. So, you know, I at least have gone to a game.
I went to Vandy, Bama. It was packed in there.
Yeah. So, a little Memorial magic. Joe, we'll see you here in a little bit over at the Titans.
All right, sounds good.
Thank Joe Rexroad, one half of Robbie and Rexroad, morning 6 to 9, here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Coming up next, a question that we were starting to answer earlier is, how unattractive is this roster right now? We'll discuss that coming up next. Chase Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Now, Tim Kelly's a little different. He's only been here a year. You know, so he has some things that he could say. Hey, I wouldn't have done it this way. I would have done it this way. You know, moving forward, maybe the moving forward type thing. This is how I see this.
But see, that pisses me off, too, because then I'm like, why didn't you just hire him and fire Downing last year?
Well, that's a different question. Yeah, I mean, I'm talking about from Kelly's perspective. Kelly's perspective is, you know, he was the pass game coordinator, and I'm sure he had a lot of ideas. And there's only one ultimate play caller on game day, and that was Downing. And, you know, the process in and of itself from Monday through Saturday night going into Sunday could have been great. I mean, I've been a part of those teams. I would say the team that I was a part of this year, our process was outstanding, how we approached things, the work together, the communal attack in you know, everybody working together and doing their job within the framework of the defensive staff. But on Saturdays, we just didn't get the product that we'd hoped. And you know, maybe Tim, you know, again, the relationship piece between Tim Kelly and Mike Vrabel is clearly there. The relationship piece between Tim Kelly and Charles London is clearly there. And I think that there's a comfort level with Coach Vrabel moving forward with those people.
Coach Bob Shoup with Stillman & Company. Coach Shoup will be with me on Monday when we fill in for Jared on Stillman & Company. So looking forward to that. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic, and the reporter Nick Kieser on the ones and twos. I tie all this back to, you know, Rand Carthon taking over as the general manager. They got to get an offensive coordinator. We were discussing that. Just how unattractive this roster is right now. Now, that can change. I mean, Carthon was a part of, you know, I this is a really great point that Joe pointed out this morning on Robbie and Rex Road of, you know, he had a part of the Falcons rebuild, the Rams rebuild, and then obviously
the
San
Niners.
Francisco. He necessarily get to see all the rewards from that, but I mean, those are some pretty good examples of rosters that went from meh to being pretty good, especially San Francisco being the deepest in the league.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, especially, you know, capping it off with that San Francisco team and what we saw with, you know, the turning of the page in 2017, Kyle Shanahan coming in. That was when Rand got there. You know, you really saw from top to bottom them build that roster. I do wonder if San Francisco wins the Super Bowl this year, does he get a ring?
Yeah.
He would.
Yeah.
That'd be, and then he could just look at it and be like, okay, now I need to get one with the Titans. A little extra motivation. But, you know, I think that's a really good point you bring up, Chase, is how attractive. So you get the new GM in Rand Carthon. Now, what do you do to get the offensive coordinator that you want to come to the Titans? How do you make your roster, how do you make your team look attractive to them? Because as we mentioned before, there's 10 other teams right now that have a vacant position for offensive coordinator and are looking to hire it. Some teams like the Chargers, who have Justin Herbert, which is an incentive to come there alone. Just saying you have Justin Herbert, that makes somebody as an offensive coordinator be like, ooh, I want to go there. I want to create an offense with Justin Herbert, or even a Lamar Jackson. That makes the Ravens more attractive. We don't know what his future looks like, but say they do re-sign him. That makes them a little bit more attractive. Even Kyler Murray with the Cardinals. I know they need to hire their head coach, yeah. But right. So you look at this Tennessee Titans roster and you have Ryan Tannehill's coming off a year with, you know, the injured ankle. You got Derrick Henry, who's already 29 years old, and you still have a lot of holes at your wide receiver room. You got a young, wide receiver and tight end and Treylon Burks and Chigakonkwo, which are kind of some bright stars, but you have a lot of work to do. In addition, that doesn't even talk about the offensive line.
Yeah, and it's funny. I think you're selling an OC based on theory. The theory of what we can be and what we want to do. It's kind of like
what we're trying to do.
Yeah, trying to do. Like you have a PowerPoint presentation of, look, we don't have this yet, but this is what we want, and this is what our plan is. And, you know, you have to do that sometimes. It's tough because, you know, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth, Mike Tyson. That's what he said. But that's kind of what it is, that you hope that you can carry that out. You hope that you can go get those type of players. But one, the chances of it happening all in 1 year are slim. It's going to take some time, and you got to find a coordinator that – I think the big thing for Mike Vrabel and the Titans is – you want to find an OC that's not going to be a head coach next year. That you probably want to find somebody that is going to be, has, you know, aspirations of that, but maybe not for a year or two.
Well, and he alluded to that in his end of year press conference. You know, when I talk about loyalty, he said something along the lines of, when I talk about loyalty, right? Like it's not always staying with my guys, but it's more of, the guys that we do bring in, you know, they're committed to this team. They're not out there looking for other jobs. And it was interesting. Robbie, I forget who said it, Robbie or Joe, was he, you know, throwing a little shot at Arthur with it?
Maybe, but I mean,
everybody thinks it's, you
he's
know, Matt
one to
LaFleur.
Talk. I mean, yeah. Vrabel's one to talk. He was a DC for a year, and then he became a head coach.
But, you know, yeah, true. Yeah. But, you know? Okay. So I agree with you, though. Like, you don't want to hire a guy who is, like, Eric Bieniemy, for instance.
Yeah, right. Eric Bieniemy, I think, could come here for a year, be a play caller, and then finally get a head coaching job.
I agree. I mean, I'm actually surprised, you know, he hasn't gotten a head coaching job yet, because it's not like we haven't seen guys like Nick Sirianni. He didn't call plays with the Colts, right? He's doing great with the Eagles now. Nathaniel Hackett.
From what I have just through the grapevine, what I've heard is Bieniemy doesn't interview well. And that may be it.
That's tough.
I think, look, there are some people that don't interview well. I mean, I've learned that being in this position now, that, you know, some people just get nervous and don't know what to say.
Of course.
You know, but I think that it could be that. But, like, Matt Nagy has been a head coach, and I think there's still a little stink on him from Chicago. And so
he wasn't in the best, like, wasn't a very good head coach, but he also had Mitch. He won coach of the year, and then he had.
I don't know if
season.
That was all on him, though. Like, that's what I was getting at. I think Ryan Pace deserves a lot of the blame
100%.
For that, because I don't think Nagy wanted Trubisky. So I don't know how bad of a head coach Matt Nagy really was, but I could see him having to be an OC again for a couple of years before he gets another crack at it.
I agree. I mean, he clearly can evaluate talent. I bring up the well, we found out a couple weeks ago, Patrick Mahomes was on Travis Kelce and his brother's podcast, and he told the story about, you know, when he was going through the draft process, Matt Nagy quite literally told Patrick Mahomes the questions to Andy Reid's, or he told him, like, the answers to the questions Andy Reid was going to ask him when he visited the Chiefs facility. And then Andy was blown away by him and was like, oh, my God, this is our guy. And we all know how that turned out, right? And he's done good things. And just because it didn't work out for him with that organization, you know, there's a lot of things that play into that. Drafting, you know, where the franchise was at. They didn't have a quarterback. So he was, you know, dealing with a lot of different things, but now he's with the Chiefs. I agree. I think he needs to be an offensive coordinator again before he gets a head coaching job. I actually do think he would be, you know, a good fit here. Right now he's with the Chiefs in a quarterback position. I don't know what his specific title is.
Matt Nagy?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got some assistant role.
Yeah, so.
Because he goes way back with Andy Reid, so.
Yeah, so he's just kind of.
But as I said the other day, I think anybody out of the Andy, I wouldn't say no to Eric Bieniemy. I could see this being more of a move for him to try and get to a head coaching job. But anybody out of the Andy Reid tree, I'd sign up for.
Yeah, of course. And I think a lot of times, too, you know, when you look at the Chiefs offense and when you compliment the Chiefs offense, it's totally like, oh, Andy Reid, you know, just everybody just like puts all the praise on him. But like Eric Bieniemy would be a great hire. But to your point, do you want to hire somebody who then next year gets a head coaching job at the end of the season? And then how do you create consistency within your offense and within your organization?
Coming up next, as we ask, what do we want to hear from Rand Carthon today? There is one player in particular that I believe is going to come up that on what his opinion is of that player. We'll discuss coming up next. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase and Michelle, presented by Hair Club. Love your hair, live your life. Creating custom hair loss solutions for men and women. 615-737-1025. That's our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic, reporter Nick Keezer, hanging out with you on this Friday. Reminder, Rand Carthon's introductory press conference will be at noon today. We will have that live on these airwaves. Starting at that time, Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace, we'll get you set for that, though, starting at 11 here in about 30 minutes. So as we go through the questions that we want to hear, I know that yesterday on Stillman & Company, Jared had his list of questions that he wanted to bring up, including on one particular player.
What does he think of Ryan Tannehill? You can't ask him about other quarterbacks like Derek Carr or Tom Brady or Lamar Jackson because those guys are under contract with other teams. Even though their contracts are set to expire, or in the case of Carr, he's going to be released, or in the case of Jackson, he's playing on the franchise tag or will play on the franchise tag, they are currently under contract for the 2022 season, for which we are still in until the start of the new league year. So you can't ask him about new quarterbacks. You can't ask him about draft quarterbacks because you don't know who's going to be available with the 11th overall pick. So he's going to sit there and say, I have no idea who's going to be there. The question is Tannehill. Tannehill is their quarterback as of right now. The Titans control his rights for next season. The Titans essentially have a $27 million option on Ryan Tannehill. And they can choose to take it or not. My guess, and I heard TD say this in the last hour, about, hey, I just got here. It's my first day on the job. I mean, I don't know what to say right now. My guess is that's probably what we're going to get. But in reality, you don't think he explained exactly what he thought about the quarterback situation of the Titans when he interviewed for the job? You don't think that question came up with Amy Adams Strunk? I'm sure it did. He may not tell us. Again, he gets to choose what he wants to tell us and what he doesn't. But I think that's the second most important thing is what does he think about the quarterback of the Titans?
That's Jared yesterday. And I agree. I think that is very, very important. And I do wonder, you know, when that came up in the interview and who brought it up, you know, in the process. Because as we were told, you know, it wasn't just Amy Adams Strunk. There were others that were involved. in the interview process. Does Vrabel bring that up? Is that when Vrabel and he talked, was like, hey, what do you think about our quarterback right now? What do you see that the future of that position looking like? You know, I think that that is a extremely important question. And one, I do believe it comes up today. Jared might be the one that asks, you know, asked that question. I don't know how much he's going to be able to answer it right now because they're still – I mean, it's like Vrabel said at his end-of-the-year press conference when he was asked about it, Michelle, is there's a lot of hypotheticals right now. There's still some things that have to happen. But I do think it's one of the most important.
Oh, and it definitely came up in the interview process, whether it was with Amy Adams Strunk or whether it was with Mike Vrabel. I mean, part of the – pull to hiring him as a GM is because he obviously had a certain plan for your roster, right? You want to know what direction he is going to take this team in. So, you know, whatever type of plan or whatever type of changes he laid out for you in the interview process of how he could help get this team a championship, which is what they want at the end of the day. They've made it very clear it's whatever your organization wants. You know, in the interview process, I'm sure he laid out, you know, what he thought about Ryan Tannehill. We actually had a text on the text line earlier. If I could pull it up quick. Ron said, do you think that Ran will come in and make a huge move or splash in the organization to show his authority or what's to come to this organization as it changes? And I think that's a great question. You know, I actually tweeted out
I'm glad that Ron asked about Ran.
I know. That was trippy for a second. Ran. But, you know, I retweeted this earlier. PFF tweeted it out and it said top upcoming free agents and linebackers. And David Long Jr. is one of the first guys up there. And I think, you know, in addition to a Jeffrey Simmons, one of the first, you know, moves as far as guys who are already on this roster and guys who you'd need to re-sign, David Long Jr. is right up there. And that's going to be really important, not only to, you know, show his authority like Ron mentioned, but, you know, just to give a sense of, you know, like, I'm not trying to like blow up this whole thing. Like I value these certain players and I want to re-sign you for that contract. And I think Vrabel will play, you know, Vrabel will be like, hey, no, like, this is the guy we need to re-sign. I'm sure he obviously has done his research on the team. You know, he's going to be the new GM. So he knows about David Long Jr. and whose contracts are up and all of that stuff.
Jeffrey Simmons aside, because we know that that's
number one.
Important and that needs to be taken care of this offseason, because otherwise I don't think he plays next year. He doesn't come to camp. But Nate Davis and David Long need to be re-signed. Those are priority too.
Yep.
That you get those guys back, especially Nate Davis, because of the giant questions on the offensive line.
Because you don't know what your offensive line is. You don't even have a coach.
I mean, I could walk
in
there today and look at me like, can you play tackle?
And you're like,
you're kind of big.
No, sorry.
Like, no. I'll be on IR the first practice, man. I mean, I'll take that check, but no.
You're like, pay me before I actually step
foot
on the
field. Can I get that in advance? Before I, you know, come out there.
No, but Chase, you made a perfect point. Those are two guys that you absolutely need to re-sign. And I think that's, you know, first priority. See, okay, who do we have before you go out and make some big move for whoever you want to get? I mean, quarterback's going to be, you know, the one talked about the most because it's the most flashy position. Tom Brady's out there. We don't know about Lamar Jackson's future. There's a lot of – it's the quarterback carousel. We saw it last year. You know, Charles Robinson mentioned yesterday on our show, he said, I talked to Sean Payton about it like 2 years ago.
Name drop.
Yeah, right. That was a subtle name drop in there. And he was like, no, I just think it's this offseason. But Charles made a good point. That's the trend now. These players realize how much weight they can hold. And they know that, you know, if I'm not getting what I want here, I can go sign with another team.
Yeah. The players have the power.
Yeah.
And they're realizing that they have that power. And in some ways they should. I mean, but it's also you're changing the game. You're changing the league. I mean, you're going to see a lot more player movement than you used to. And, like, gone are the days of
– It's become, like, similar to the NBA, right? Mm-hmm. The NBA for a really long time now, it's been, you know – at least the way I look at it is I don't have a specific team because players jump around so frequently. It's like you choose to root for specific players, but I can never keep track of NBA free agency or which players are where now. And to a certain extent, not as much and not as frequent as the NBA, but You know, we have seen so much player movement within the NFL these last couple of years and these last couple of off seasons.
You know, I would love to ask Mike Vrabel about that.
Yeah.
And I would hope that he would give a legit answer. I know he doesn't like to talk about his playing days much, but where I'm going with this is he was loyal to the Patriots. He was with the Patriots a long, long time.
Yeah.
And then they traded him. And he had an issue with that. I think that kind of caused a little bit of a rift between him and Belichick when he was traded. And I think that's when Floyd was there too. He was a part of the Matt Castle trade to Kansas City. And that was kind of the beginning of you really, you know, it's obviously free agency had been around a while. And you were seeing that it's just, look, it's not for long. And I'm curious now his view of it, because he was on the other side of it. It wasn't his choice.
Yeah.
But kind of how he views that.
How he views it now as a head coach and, you know, making those business decisions. I think something else that plays into the role, too, is these huge contracts we're seeing. And we're seeing the success of young teams like the Bengals, where they've got three young stars all on rookie contracts. But they can make bigger moves for some veteran guys because three of their prominent players, two of their best receivers, and their quarterback are all playing for so cheap because they're rookies, right? So I think that also plays a role into it. I know the cap is not real, some say. Hi, Jared. But, you know, it definitely plays a role into the success of teams. So it is interesting, though, you know, the last couple of years, the amount of movement we have seen by prominent players and veteran players. And Charles mentioned, you know, depending on whatever Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady decide to do, like, they set the market. And they, like, whenever they're ready to go, it's like we're just going to see a mad rush of quarterbacks all over the place this offseason.
Okay, we're going to ask this question a lot over the course of the next few months. We're going to do our quarterback, who's going to be the starting quarterback for every team. But I'm going to ask you this right now. Who is the starting quarterback opening day for the Tennessee Titans next year?
Ryan Tannehill.
I agree. I believe it's Ryan Tannehill. I don't think that changes.
I don't either.
I think there's going to be a lot of QB change around the league. We know Derek Carr is going to be somewhere else.
Uh-huh.
I believe Tom Brady is going to be somewhere else.
I do think Aaron Rodgers will be somewhere else.
I think Aaron Rodgers will be on his couch.
Oh, you think he retires?
I think he announces his retirement. Whether he stays retired, I don't know. I could see that,
maybe,
you know,
that would be a way for him to be like, "Hey, Green Bay, you know, I'm stepping away." And then
I don't know. I'm really back and forth on him. I don't know.
I think if Green Bay doesn't make some big moves to get him a good roster, then
What Aaron's doing right now is Aaron is going, Tom has moved and is probably about to move for the second time, and he's won a Super Bowl with someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why can't I do that? Why have I been trying to make this work? Because he doesn't handle everything the right way, but, I mean, he has tried to make it work. I mean, everybody thought he was gone, and it's like, okay, well, we'll get it worked out. Now he's benefited from it, and a lot of the reason that they can't bring in some of what he needs is because his contract. But
yeah, Tom also is like,
yeah, Tom
the
took
first,
pay cuts.
Yeah, exactly. Is the first guy, I feel like, to take pay cuts, move
it's
rosters.
Like, Tom, how much money you want? Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, and also, too, when Aaron signed that huge contract last year, you have to know that that's going to lock you in with the Packers.
Right.
And then if you're the Packers, you're not going to have to pay $40 million or whatever it is for him to go play for another team. It's just not going to happen.
Right. So I don't know. Maybe I retract my statement. Maybe he hadn't tried. Yeah, screw Rodgers. He deserves what he gets.
Well, I really quick, I don't know if you saw this. I thought this was really funny. So Aaron Rodgers, that interview on the McAfee show a couple days ago was, you know, him talking about he could win an MVP again. He feels like he could compete at that level. And Gronk went on the Kay Adams show on FanDuel TV and was like, "Why is this guy talking about MVPs? Doesn't he want to win another Super Bowl?" And I was like, that is such a great quote from Gronk. And it's true, though. I think he kind of is, like, you know, stuck right now. And we'll see how that plays out. But I agree. Go try to win another ring.
I know. Speaking of winning rings, let's win some bets. Let's do that coming up next. We'll give our picks for division round weekend. here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Could never go wrong with The Who. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Michelle's learning that with some bump music, I'll do like my little drum thing. You know, it's kind of my...
I always dance, and then I see the stream back on Twitter, and I'm like, what the heck was I doing there?
It's all right. You can watch us.
Streaming.
On Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, Facebook Live. Presented by Superbook Sports, our official
sports
book.
Speaking of Superbook, Chase.
Look at that. Look at that segue. It's time to make some picks. Are we ready? We ready to make some picks? Nick, reporter Nick, are you going to report some picks?
Let's go.
Let's go, Nick.
I told him last night when he was doing the Preds game, I said, this reporter thing's going to take off. Just wait. Just wait. It's like the suit. You know, Darren gave me the name The Suit. It took off. So it's what happens. All right. First up, we have the Jacksonville Jaguars headed to Kansas City to take on the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm getting a call from Bulgaria.
Really?
Yeah. Look.
Maybe it's a GM job. Answer it.
In Bulgaria?
Answer it, I dare you.
Right now? No, I don't want to. They're probably going to hack my phone.
For a soccer team, probably.
Who is calling me from Bulgaria?
That is very strange.
Okay. Sorry.
If they leave a message, it'll be for your new job. I don't know. You're so confused right now.
I am. Like, I got distracted because... Bulgaria.
It's very random.
The Jags getting 9 points on the road at Kansas City. I did these lines before the show, so if they've changed, let me know.
Nope, I think they're still at nine. They're still at nine on Superbook Sports. I absolutely love that. I love the Jags plus the 9 points. I think that the Chiefs will win at home. I think they'll advance to the AFC Championship. But listen, I think this Jags team, they're gritty. I think they're going to put up a fight. I also like the over in that game. Let me see. I don't have it off the top of my head, but I looked at it earlier today. The over is 53. I think this is going to be a high-scoring game. So give me the over and give me the Jags plus the 9 points, Chase.
So you said the over?
Yes.
Over 53?
It's high, but I think we're going to get a high-scoring game up there.
Okay, I like the 9. I still think the Chiefs win, but I agree. I think 9 is too many points. So give me the Jags plus the 9 as well. Nicholas?
I'm going to go to the Chiefs.
You're laying the 9.
I think they are too powerful.
No points. You don't need any points. You're going to lay the
over,
points.
Over under, Nick. What do you like?
What is it?
53, even.
Under.
Under? Okay.
I like the over. I agree. I also like... So the passing props on Superbook, Lawrence is 244.5.
Pretty high.
Mahomes is 309.5. I think I like...
I like over on Lawrence and under on Mahomes.
Yeah, I agree.
I think they both end up around the 250 range.
I agree. I like that. All right. Sean Henry's New York football Giants at the Eagles. Eagles minus 7.5.
I am smelling an upset. I don't know... what Jalen Hurts' health looks like. You know, they had the week off. Sometimes teams can come out slow. But I absolutely loved the Giants in Minnesota last weekend. I thought that they were going to win. They came out with the win. Now they're heading to Philly. Plus the 7.5. Give me the Giants. Also going to take the Giants on the money line plus 290. I love that. Over-under is 48. I'm going to take the under.
You know what? We're right on the same page there. I like the under 48. I love the 7.5, and I will dabble on the money line at plus 290 as well.
You're welcome, Sean Henry, and you better be listening. Nick.
He's always listening.
Nick, do you like the Giants or the Eagles? The Giants plus 7.5, or are you taking the Eagles?
I didn't take the Giants last week, so I'll take them this week.
Okay.
I will back our CEO for the Preds. I think he makes a really good case. And I like the G-men.
The G-men. All right, let's move to Sunday. The Cincinnati Bengals, the Buffalo Bills, the game that was ultimately canceled. Obviously, DeMar Hamlin, that situation, he's been doing well. I believe that he will be there.
He's been back in the building.
He's been back
Sean
in the building.
Sean McDermott said.
Bengals plus 5.5 on the road in Buffalo, the over-under at 49.
I wasn't impressed by the Bengals game against the Ravens. They were very lucky to win that one with that 99-yard touchdown. That was a very luck play. I think that the Ravens outplayed them.
With a block in the back.
But I think that kind of kicked the Bengals in the butt a little bit and was like, okay, you got through to the next round. But now you're playing the Bills in Buffalo.
And I don't think the Bills played all that great against Miami.
I don't think they did either. Couple bad turnovers. I think one of the keys is going to be Josh Allen not turning over the ball, which we've seen quite frequently. But I do think that this ends up being a pretty close game. So I'm going to take Cincinnati plus the 5.5. I think Buffalo wins by a field goal, but I think it's going to be pretty close. Over under 49. I don't think there's going to be any crazy weather conditions, so I'm going to take... I think I'm going to take the over on this one.
Yeah. I'm not overly concerned about the weather.
Yeah.
This is a tough one because I think this is going to be an emotional game. I just do.
I
think both teams are going to have that on their mind. I agree. Neither one really played all that great, but I like Cincinnati plus 5.5, and I'll dabble on the money line as well at plus 200.
Really quick before, Nick, you make your pick. Pretty cool. I saw on Twitter two women holding up T-shirts, and it says two teams, one family, and it's the Cincinnati colors and then the Buffalo colors. Those are some T-shirts they've made for this game coming up this weekend. I agree. I think it'll be a very emotional game, but
I would have DeMar Hamlin and T. Higgins do the coin toss.
Oh, that'd be great. That would be great. I think it's going to be pretty emotional, but pretty awesome to see people making those T-shirts and the fan bases coming together. So, Nick, who do you got for that game?
I think Joe Burrow is a big bad man. He's going to take down the Bills. Okay? I really just think that. He was my fantasy quarterback, and I have a little bit of bias because I liked him that year. But I will say he's just dominant. He's a baller. I think he's poised to get back to the Super Bowl.
I love Joe Burrow. And Joe Burrow we trust. Where's Caroline?
I don't know. She's not here yet.
Yeah.
Joe's cool.
Yeah. He's Joe cool.
He is. Sorry, Rexford, not talking about you.
And then finally, Sunday late afternoon, the Dallas Cowboys go to San Francisco to take on the 49ers. Dallas getting 4 points in this one in San Fran. It was down.
How about them Cowboys? One more time. Do it again, Nick.
I don't think he can because he's got it. Yeah. I'll do it for you. How about them Cowboys?
That was even better.
Yeah, there you go.
Listen, I like this San Francisco team. I think that it is Shanahan's year. Give me the San Francisco 49ers minus the 4. I think it's going to be a great game. I think that'll be the best game. Over under 46.5. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I know they both have great defenses, but I still think it's going to be think it's going to hit the over, be a high-scoring game. But I'm taking the Niners minus the 4 and on the money line.
I just said it. I mean, give me the Cowboys plus the 4 on the road.
Are you picking with your head or your heart?
Yes.
Both?
Yes. The answer is yes. But no, I think that defense is Purdy's going to get rattled eventually. The Dallas Cowboys defense and Micah Parsons will be the one to do it.
It'll be the question, who will get rattled more, him or Dak?
I just did a parlay so plus 170 is the money line there. I like them. If you parlay Giants, Bengals, Cowboys money line on the Superbook Sports app, you're getting some good value there. $20 wins you $611.
Listen, so. I love an underdogs parlay this weekend, even though I just picked the 49ers, and I think that was what you put. So hopefully you win some money this weekend, Chaser.
Yeah.
Hopefully everyone does.
I hope we all win money this weekend for sure. Look forward to hearing what Rand Carthon has to say. I'm going to figure out who's trying to call me from Bulgaria. I don't think they left a voicemail, though.
I was really
hoping I would get a voicemail from Bulgaria. But no, didn't happen. We'll investigate that further. But stick around. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace, they are coming up next. We'll get their thoughts on Rand Carthon, his introductory press conference, also the Predators and what happened with them last night, dropping that one 5-2. You'll get all that coming up next here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.